Well, good morning, Harvest family. As you can tell, today is Visual Aids Sunday. As you see, I have my table out again to use a little visual aids and hopefully a few humorous stories and I'll connect with our sermon this morning. Trust it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Looking forward to what the Lord has.
I have built my life on the solid Amen. That song gets me excited about dwelling in Beulah land. All right. Well, we're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 39, the first eight verses in chapter 39. And if you're visiting, just to explain, we on the first Sunday of every month, we have a Middle East prophecy update. And we've been looking at a prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is a prophecy of a Russian-led invasion of Israel. And we see how God deals with this evil coalition that is prophesied to come against the land of Israel. And so in Ezekiel 39, starting verse 1, "Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog," that's the leader of Russia, "and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." Again, that's Moscow and Tobolsk. "And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee." And, you know, I just want to pause there. The sixth part of thee, that's incredible. So what the Bible is saying is that this enemy coalition is going to suffer casualties at a rate of about 83.3%. By comparison, in Hitler's invasion of the Soviet Union, they lost 24% of their forces by the time they had to surrender in the East. So this is an enormous defeat that will be inflicted upon this evil coalition. And it goes on to say in verse 2, "and will cause thee to come up from the north parts." Now, if you look at a map, there is no country north of Russia. "And will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel," which I believe is a reference to the Golan Heights, which separates Israel from Syria. And in verse 3, "and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field." Now, let me just pause there. I think there's a little bit of a clue being given to us that some of these Russian-led forces are actually going to penetrate beyond the Golan Heights to the coastal plain of Israel. Because I don't picture an open field being in the mountains of Israel. So if there's penetration to the coastal plain, well, this is where some of Israel's largest cities are located. So it would be just a short distance to get to Tel Aviv and Haifa, the first and third largest cities of Israel. And if they get to those cities, it's over for the state of Israel. So keep that in mind as we continue. "For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and I will send a fire on Magog," Magog being the land of Russia. In a modern context, I believe that this is referring to nuclear weapons, that this is a war that could go nuclear. "And among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken." So we see through Scripture, not only in this passage, but in chapter 38, that there's going to be a lot working against this evil coalition. And really, we see divine intervention on behalf of God's people. There's going to be a great earthquake. There's going to be large hailstones falling on this army. And by the way, that's not unprecedented. You can read about how God used hailstones to smash other armies in Joshua chapter 10, Isaiah 30, and Ezekiel 13. This invasion coalition will start to fight with each other. Okay, we saw that last time in Ezekiel 38:21. And as I've said before, they don't all have exactly the same goals and objectives in mind, and so they're going to start fighting with each other, so they lose any kind of unity of command, and they start to fall apart. And of course, I believe that the Bible indicates that this is a conflict that may go nuclear. Now, Israel has a policy of opacity regarding nuclear weapons. That is to say, they neither confirm nor deny that they have nuclear weapons, but everybody knows they have them. In fact, it's estimated that the Israeli nuclear arsenal consists of anywhere between 200 and 400 nuclear weapons. Some of these are actually very powerful city flatteners that would probably be somewhere in the 300 to 600 kiloton range. Okay, they even have the ability to fire a 300 kiloton nuclear warhead from a cruise missile launched from a submarine. Israel is a very capable nation. And as I mentioned earlier, if the armies penetrate beyond the Golan Heights, that is a major red line for the state of Israel, because Israel is a small country. You know, you see it up there. It's a very thin, narrow country. They lack strategic depth, okay? And so Israel has what they call the Samson option. That is to say, if they feel that the state of Israel is going to be overrun by enemy forces, they're going to bring their enemies down with them, okay? And it's well known in international relations that, you know, if the survival of the state is in jeopardy, that a state will use any and all means at its disposal to preserve the state. This is a conflict where the U.S. could get involved, whereas earlier, when we were looking in chapter 38, you know, I said that there's a lot of what I call feckless diplomacy that goes on. So the diplomatic maneuvers that will probably be exercised will be insufficient to deter this invasion from happening in the first place. Nevertheless, I believe that it's possible that the United States might find very good reason to get involved, because the U.S. has had a long-standing historic relationship with the state of Israel. If we were to stand by and do nothing, there would be enormous reputational damage to the United States, and our security guarantees would be questioned by our friends and allies around the world. And because of Israel's lack of strategic depth, I believe that this is an invasion, a war that will unfold very rapidly. And so it is possible that the United States would use nuclear weapons to keep them out. Now, I think that it's likely that if the United States were to get involved with nuclear weapons, that they would seek to keep the conflict contained, keep it limited. The U.S. would probably use such weapons as nuclear-armed cruise missiles and thermonuclear gravity bombs dropped from short-range tactical aircraft. They would also choose targets that would be confined to the immediate theater of operations or perhaps the adjacent region. I do believe that there might be compelling reasons, certainly for Israel and perhaps for the United States, to strike targets in Russia itself. And I think for the United States, we would want to limit that to perhaps like airfields and other targets, logistics, and so forth that are directly supporting the invasion. Okay, and so this is something that's called nuclear signaling. The United States would be sending a signal or a message, you know, to Russia that our objectives are limited to the region and that this is not the beginning of a U.S. strategic nuclear laydown against the Russian Federation. Problem with that is that Russian military doctrine and Russian declaratory policy makes it very clear that any nuclear weapon, regardless of the size or the range of the weapon, any nuclear weapon that detonates on Russian soil will be regarded as a strategic attack against Russia, and they will respond accordingly. And so in the parlance of U.S. escalation theory, such nuclear strikes on Russian territory would subsume the superpower homeland threshold, and from there the door is open to further escalation all the way to general nuclear war vis-a-vis the United States and the Russian Federation. I will say this. Don't know how such a conflict would turn out exactly. I don't think it would go well for either side. But I do note that after Ezekiel 39, there's no further mention of Russia. Okay? Nor have I ever found the United States directly mentioned in Scripture. Okay? So, this is gives us an idea as to where this conflict could escalate. It's been said that the United States is a great nation at risk in a dangerous world. I would simply leave you with a quote from President Franklin Pierce, of all people. He said, "It must be felt by all that there is no national security but in the nation's humble acknowledged dependence upon God and His overruling providence." So this is going to be an enormously destructive conflict. And next time in February, the first Sunday in February when I'm up here, we will see how Scripture reveals the aftermath of this conflict and how it sets the stage for the coming of the Antichrist, the peace treaty, and the seven-year tribulation that follows. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, for our own American forces that are in there and are increasingly coming under attack. We pray, Lord, for their safety. And Father, I just pray that you'd give our leaders wisdom and the leaders of Israel wisdom, Lord, as they deal with this situation that is happening right now that is seemingly going to escalate into a major regional conflict. Father, just help us to be faithful in praying about this. And Lord, we know that your will be done and that you will get the glory. You will be magnified because of it. And Father, I pray that that part of the aftermath of this conflict is that many people see that Jesus is Lord and they turn to him. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Verse this morning, I would ask that the men, if you'd come and join me for a time of prayer. And I know we got a little bit out of whack on our schedule this morning, but we'll stay on as close as we can. Gentlemen, if you'd come and join me as Miss Marlene plays. You know, I made mention of earlier about prayer for 2024. And praying for, as a theme, praying for the Lord to help us to reach more families and retain more young families. You know, the Lord reminded me in our update from Brother Dave, he does such a good job with the prophecy aspect of it. We need to remember to praying for our country and praying for our leaders. We really do. I don't know when the Lord's coming. I'm just going to be honest with you. There was times where I was saying I'm ready for the Lord to come, but I wasn't ready to get on the bus today. I wasn't ready to go today because I have family members that aren't saved. I've got neighbors I'd like to witness to one more time. There's a few more things as a young preacher years ago that I'd like to see the Lord use me in doing. And the older I get, the more I long for the Lord to return. But it still doesn't change. There are those I would like to share the gospel with one more time. So let's be praying and keep those things in mind as well as we pray for our church, as we pray for our men, we pray for our leaders in our church, we pray for our church families, and of course as we pray for our country. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before thy throne this morning, we want to thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for your goodness to us, Father. And Father, we thank you for the blessings of the Word of God. As we glean and we look at Scriptures, as we went through some of the prophecy, Ezekiel 38 and now Ezekiel 39, of knowing, Father, that there's some more things that will still take place before you return. But the current events of our world today tell us that that could happen at any time. So Lord, help us to be busy about our Father's business. Now, Father, I pray that you would help us as men, as leaders of our church, Father, as leaders of our home. Father, I pray that you put a hedge about our men and protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, help us, use us, encourage us, strengthen us to be the men that you would have us to be first at home. And Lord, may that carry over into the church and into the community. Father, help us to be leaders and builders of men and young families. And the Father be with our sweet ladies who stand behind the men and stand behind the leadership of our church, Lord, who pray and encourage and strengthen. Father, how grateful I am for our sweet ladies who are such a blessing and encouragement to me and encouraging me each and every service. Father, bless them, use them, give them insight and wisdom to continue to make that stand of prayer and encouragement behind their husbands and behind the men and leadership of our church. Father, I pray that you would bless our facilities and our building, Father. Help us in our hearts and minds to prepare even now before you return, that we remain busy and still trying to reach other families for the cause of Christ. Help us to do all that we can while we can. Now, Father, help us. Father, bless the reading of the word that I'm about to read in a few moments and the special music that will come. Would you bless it, use it for thine honor and thy glory? And Lord, help us to strive to keep that line of communication open, not only among each other, but most importantly, directly with you. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Mark chapter 9, before our special music, Mark chapter 9, verse number 14. Mark chapter 9, beginning of verse number 14. We'll read a couple of passages of scripture here. We'll have our special music and we'll have our message this morning. Bible says in Mark chapter 9, and we'll be talking this morning about communication. Verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him and saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake unto the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you to bring him unto me? And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes he cast him into a fire and into the waters and to destroy him. But thou canst do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus saw the people and came running together and rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one of the dead. And so much as many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And he was coming to the house. His disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Notice, it's plural. Not by pray, fast, but prayer and fasting.
Brother. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed, living he loved me. dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected. The hands that he labored, my Redeemer is here. The hands that healed nations, stretched out on a tree. And took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. The grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glory. Glorious day, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the sky with his glories will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
Some of us will not know how to act when the Lord returns. I think some of us will be surprised to see the praise and the glory that takes place in heaven. We might as well get used to it and practice while we're here. Amen. Power is available, but sometimes our connection is weak. This morning, for sake of time, I just have introduction. I'll just cover one point, and we'll pick up the rest of it next week. So let me set the scene to give you a little bit of an illustration, okay? I'm a young businessman, so ignore the gray hair. It used to be black. Pretend it's black again. Blink your eyes open. It's all black again. I'm 30 years younger, starting a new business, and I'm all excited. I've hung my shingle. I've got my office set up, and I'm getting ready to look at what I could do in welcoming new customers. Make sure he's on. Someone's at the door. Yes, this is Mr. Cook. Oh, yes, sir, we can take that bid. We can take that order. We can get that. Yes, we can get right on that next week. No problem. In fact, I'll make sure we fit you right in the schedule. Sir, this is such a big job. I'm so honored. We'll make sure we put you at the top of the list. Yes, sir, you have a good day. Well, hello, I'm Mr. Cook. How are you doing, sir?
Hi, I'm from the telephone company, and I'm here to connect your phone.
Come on, you get the point? Yeah, I was pretending on the phone because somebody was coming in. I'm talking it up. You know that some Christians pretty much are the same way in your communication with God? They're not connected. I can play and I can pretend all day long. I can talk, but it does no good if there's no connection. We're going to talk about that today and a few other things next week. I have brought a few props that I will use today. One, the phone. This is not a toothbrush. And I think some of you know what these are, but you know, some of us has been so long since we've talked to the Lord that we're still on digital and dial-up. We're not in the present century of communicating with the Lord. In fact, we don't do it enough and often enough that sometimes, like Mr. Cook, the young businessman, was doing just a few minutes ago, he was pretending. See, there was no real connection. I can talk to the Lord and he's going to listen to me because he promises to, because he's my heavenly Father. But that doesn't mean there's really a direct connection. I'm getting to know more and more of our church family is being here coming up on almost a year. And some of us have a good, wonderful connection and working more with others. And sometimes it's a matter of time and schedule and things that take place. But the bottom line is, what kind of a connection do we have with one another? What kind of a connection do we have mostly with the Lord? Because if this connection is right, you've heard me say it, having these connections out here are a whole lot easier. But if we don't have the right connections out here, it's going to be hard to have it right this way as well. They kind of work hand in hand. And this long introductory today, and we'll get to just one point so you bear with me, but how's your connection? I'm going to read over real quick, and I'm going to have you turn there just some highlights of several passages of Scripture. Romans 15:3 tells us, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:15-20, of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that worketh in us. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in Him which ye have head of all principalities and power. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's all about power, that connection we spoke of, and He provides the power. And we have to be connected to Him in order to have the power source that we need in our prayer life. We can raise our hands and say, oh, I'll pray, but again, as Brother Enoch mentioned in Sunday school, I tend to ask people to pray for me that I know that prays, that have a direct line. I'm telling you, I was convinced as a teenager that my youth pastor's wife, had a direct line to heaven. Because when Miss Ursula prayed, the earth shook. Things took place. It wasn't her prayers, it was her connection to God, and God answered. God answered. How is our connection? Again, back to the power source. How many of us remember the old battery commercial? The Energizer Bunny? Boy, it was popular. I don't watch a whole lot of TV, and I don't watch commercials at all. But bottom line is, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but we need to remember, it was not the bunny, but the battery that was the main emphasis, but yet we all remember the bunny. Oh, what was that battery? What was that battery? See, the battery was the power source, and that's what we need to realize as believers. He is our power source, and we need to be connected to Him. It is important to have good batteries. Cars won't start without batteries. You'll need jumper cables. Flashlights go dim with weak batteries. Cell phones become a useless paperweight without a charged battery. Hearing aids are no good unless they have got good batteries in them. I have learned that through the last several months. Why? Because the battery is the power source. And whether it's plugged into the electrical outlet, whether it's plugged into the batteries, the main emphasis I'm trying to say, we must be plugged into the Lord and have that relationship. See, there are two types of current. There's AC and there's DC currents. That AC is that alternating current, and DC is direct current. And the same is true in the local church. See, some folks in our church or our churches are hooked up on alternating current. They attend church on alternating Sundays. They pray on alternating days of the week. They give on alternating occasions. Dear friends, don't be an AC Christian. Be a direct Christian. You see, then there are those who are hooked up to the DC power, those who are connected to direct current, connected to Him, and God is looking for some direct Christians, some directly connected Christians, some dedicated Christians, people that can be depended upon, people who don't just do things when it's convenient, people who press toward the mark daily, people who deny self and take up their cross and follow Him. You see, God's looking for those who will keep going and keep on going no matter how tough it gets. He needs some energizer Christians. He needs some Christians who's willing, just like that old bunny, to just keep going and going and going and going and going for the Lord. And I realize there comes a time when our health, and I'm getting older, and believe me, I hurt every single day of the week. But the Lord is, we need to keep moving, keep going. And I may not be able to do what I used to do or at the same pace, but I can still do it. And no matter what I'm doing, standing, kneeling, walking, lying prone, I can pray. I can get connected to God. I can talk with Him and ask Him to help me. Dear friends, God is looking for those who are willing to be that energizer, dedicated Christian. You see, a good battery is really only half the solution. I am no mechanic. Got some jumper cables down there. I remember a time in my younger years and still don't know a whole lot about mechanics. I replaced a whole lot of batteries before I realized it was just a bad connection. Just a connection that needed the old wire brush to clean it up and to get it ready. And we'll get on this a little more, but I need to get on just a little bit today. You wouldn't want to brush your teeth with this. You wouldn't want to scratch your rash or your itch with this. But there's no doubt, because it would do some damage and some harm. But you know, some of us might need the good old wire brush, the Holy Spirit, to get a hold of us. To wake us up, to get our attention. Yeah, we can clean the old rusty cables, the corroded batteries. My son was telling me, Dad, you don't even have to use a brush anymore. Just pour a good can of Pepsi-Cola on it, it'll eat it right up. But hey, some of us need a good scrubbing. Some of us need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in and on us to help us remember that, hey, and by the way, when the Lord moves in, and you make a decision to yield yourself for Christ, and the Lord starts working on you, it can be a little painful. It can be a little uncomfortable. It can be a little question, oh Lord, not that. Yeah, it can be tough, but it's good for us. Yes, I learned a valuable lesson. You must make sure that you have a good connection to your battery, because you'll just get that clicking sound. It's that lesson that we can all learn, and we need to get back here to our text, and it says, Lord, help my unbelief. Dear friends, we need to check out the connection to our power source. And our power source is Jesus. You see, our problem is not the power source. It's our connection. In other words, it's not Jesus, it's me. It's not Jesus, it's you. It's not Jesus, it's us. Are we connected to the power source? There are three important questions to ask about our connection. We'll just look at one this morning. Number one, is there corrosion? Is there corrosion? Back to our wire brush. See, you must be clean if you want a good connection to the power source. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that working in us. See, it's all him. It's all him. When we yield to him, there's so much that he can do through us that we never thought that we could do on our own. But will we yield to that? What good is it to have a connection to the power source of Almighty God at our disposal and let our connection get rusty and corroded? Hey, we've got the connection. It's there. It's already been plugged in for us the day we trusted Christ. But are we going to take care of it? Are we going to keep it clean? We're going to keep our body, our temple of the Holy Spirit, clean and prepared for His use. See, corrosion causes a bad connection. And if we're going to allow the power of the Lord to work in and through us, we need to stay clean. We need to keep short accounts. As our brother mentioned this morning, Brother Enoch in Sunday school, if I've offended you, man, I want to make it right because I don't want to mess up my pipeline to God. If someone's offended me, I'm going to go to them. I want to make it right because I want that to be where it needs to be because I want my relationship with the Lord. I want it to be right. But the problem is today, sometimes we allow circumstance to override. And sometimes it's our mouth. Sometimes it's our behavior. But dear friends, there are too many Christians that go through their lives hearing that click, click that begins, that suggests that there is power under the hood, but you just can't get through. See, many of us have the ability to achieve greatness through the exercise of our gifts, but every time we turn on the switch, we keep getting that clicking sound. Sometimes it's things that we avoid, things that we put off, things that we don't take time for. Sometimes it's even things that we say or we can't seem to be quiet. A little humorous, but true. A young couple went to the doctor. We'll call them Daryl and Margo. And Daryl says, "Doctor, we're at an end. We just don't know what to do. My wife just has such a temper. She just blows up. And it just everything else falls apart." Again, that connection, that communication. And the doctor looks at Daryl and says, "Young man," of course we know it's not this Daryl, I said young man. And he says, "Here's what I need you to do. Every time Margo's getting ready to blow her top, I want you to take a big gulp of water and just swish it. Don't swallow it, just swish." So 10 days went by. They went back to the doctor. They said, "Doctor, it's a miracle. How did you know? I mean, we haven't had one argument. She haven't had one explosion. And all I did is..." Are you beginning to get it yet? Kind of hard to talk and argue with your mouth full, isn't it? Yeah. See, the problem in this case wasn't Margo. It was Daryl couldn't keep his trap shut. And sometimes within our church and things that go on, people can't keep their traps shut and it causes problems. How can you have the right connection with one another when you're too busy talking about one another or talking about this or talking about that? It's that connection. And by the way, it'd be good for us every once in a while to bite our tongue. It'd be every good once in a while for us to say, you know, "Boy, my lips are all..." I tend to bite my lip a little more than I do my tongue, but I do some biting once in a while. Whatever it takes, if we're going to keep the connection and the communication with God, we've got to be out right here. We've got to be right here as well. And we need to make sure that we're using all the things the Lord has us access to. And once again, we'll talk about it more next week. This old wire brush can be very uncomfortable. And allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life can be very uncomfortable as well. But I'll tell you this, from my experience, I believe it's biblical. I believe many here would agree with me. Though it may be uncomfortable, submitting through the Holy Spirit working on us, it's a whole lot more comfortable when the Spirit has to grab our attention because we're not listening. Amen? I mean, He might use the jumper cables and the wire brush. Who knows? But the bottom line is, as believers, as Christians, we need to clean our connection with God. We need to make sure we have that direct line of communication with Him as well as with our Christian brothers and sisters around us. What corrodes our connection with God? Simply, easy answer, sin. Sin. You choose your poison. Pride can corrode your cables. Hatred can keep you from having a good connection. Jealousy will keep you from having a good connection. Strife will always keep your connection with God and with others at a very weak end. And unforgiveness will keep you from having a good connection. Not only unforgiveness from God asking for forgiveness, but unforgiveness for those around you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace. He will give you the grace to do what's right. He will give you the grace to make that connection, to stay clean and to keep it clean and to work on it. And dear friends, it is well worth keeping that connection clean and prepared. If there is corrosion, it must be cleaned. And why not do our maintenance? And let me throw this in. I need to move on. By the way, come to church on Sunday. It's not enough maintenance. You need to get into the Word daily. You need to get into the Word and talk to God. You need to have fellowship with other Christians. It's not enough to come together once a week and expect that's going to help all of my problems, but throughout the week, have relations with other believers of like faith. Get into the Word of God and read your Bible. Talk to the Lord. Allow Him to talk to you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. That sin that keeps our connection weak. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Dear friends, there is nothing wrong with our power source. It's our connection that needs to be checked. Marlene, if you'll make your way to the piano, one last illustration. Some years ago, we needed batteries. Because one of the toys' kids had quit working, the batteries went out, so I went out and I got a brand new pack of batteries, opened it up, put them in the toy, and got to go on, and it wouldn't work. And I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. These are brand new. How can they not be working? And Michelle spit her water out and said, honey, I think I have... some of y'all got that. Here's what took place. Michelle says, sweetheart, check the dates of the package. I was putting in batteries. How in the world do you keep batteries for 10 years and not use them? But they were so old, had lost their charge, that they wouldn't work. Dear friends, don't be surprised when you bow a knee with a great need and want to talk with the Lord and you don't feel like you have a connection because you haven't done it for days, weeks, months, or even years. Keep the connection clean, active, ongoing, and used regularly. Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianos are beginning to play and I won't take a lot of time the invitation this morning and ask a lot of questions. I'm going to simply ask you this morning to pray as I pray. If God has spoken to your heart about your prayer life, about the connection you have with the Lord, the connection you have with others, and how it may need to improve, you just do what God would have you to do and ask yourself, is there corrosion in my walk? Is that corrosion keeping me from having the connection that I need with my Lord and with my fellow believers? Father, you know the needs that are represented here this morning. Speak to the hearts of your people. May we all respond obediently. Father, may we respond in such a way that you will help us and encourage us that you do not have to correct us and discipline us for our lack of behavior, our lack of willingness to make things right. Father, bless, we do ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. You do business with the Lord where you stand in your chair here at the altar.